8, 1 through 11. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised an oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where there's no snow. A land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of yours. Even if they go back many, many centuries, they are still good for us to hear today. And your word is always powerful. It's active. It is able to change lives and change hearts. And so, Lord, use these words in our gathering here this evening as we come to give thanks to you and to give thanks for just the people you've brought into our lives, where we've crossed paths with, that it's been a real blessing. And so we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to ask you a question. Who is doing the talking here in Deuteronomy? Who is doing the talking? Who said Moses? Correct. You win a car. First, I have to shovel L Avenue. Moses is speaking, and he's in the process of giving his last sermon to the people before they cross the Jordan River and go to the Promised Land. Now, Deuteronomy means second law. It means Moses is just repeating what God had said to him back in Exodus and other places. So if you read Deuteronomy and you're like, hey, I've heard this before, it's because he gives it the second time. But this time when he gives it, it is really in a sermon form where the people are standing. And they're standing for the entire time he talks to them, and it's about 32 chapters. So if you think I preach long, if I had you stand while I'm going to read at least 32 chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, you would all go like, Pastor, when I came, I was thankful. And now I'm thankful that you're not going to read the 32 chapters of Deuteronomy and would be standing. 40 years have gone by. Moses is not able to enter into the Promised Land. He gets to go on top of Mount Nebo, which is in modern-day Jordan, on the other side of the Dead Sea. And from up there, he will see the people of Israel cross the Jordan River And then they didn't realize they had to face Jericho with its fortified walls and the people that were there. And the land that God was giving to them, it's like God didn't tell them that it was occupied by would-be their enemies. It's interesting that Moses knows that after 40 years in the wilderness, and after 40 years of age, we begin to lose our minds. We get more forgetful after 40. Right, Chad? Yeah. What's my name? Oh, don't say it. 40 years of wandering around in the desert should have taught them something. It was no Arnold's Park or Valley Fair. It was not a picnic. Those 40 years of them wandering in the wilderness. But it was an incredible time of seeing God do some very fantastic things. Just think if they would not have done this or gone through this. You know, God showed himself to them in many different ways. You know, God went before them in the daytime as what? As a cloud. In the nighttime, God went before them as a?
Fire.
That's right. And every morning, the people were able to find food, and it was called what?
Manna.
Do you know what manna means? Actually, in the Hebrew, it means, what is it? They'd never seen anything like this before. And they're only supposed to get as much for that one day. If somebody tried to be a little greedy and hoard it, and kind of hide it in their tent or wherever it was, what would happen to it? It would spoil. It would turn like into worms. You know? And so, you know, God was just saying, hey, trust me. I will provide. You are my people, my chosen people. And after you have the same thing over and over, some of you just have toast and coffee every breakfast, or pancakes, or whatever you have. You know, over time you go like, I need something different. Like Honey Nut Cheerios or something. But here the people said, you know, we want meat. We want meat. And God sent them quail. And they're able to have meat. And to eat meat. Again, God provided for them. When they were thirsty, the people started getting a little cranky. They're so, I want something to drink. Those of you with small kids know what that's like. When they said, I am thirsty, I want something to drink. Do they ever give up on that? They don't. Same way the people of Israel. Crying, complaining. And God finally would lead them to a place. He'd tell Moses, you know, go strike that rock, or go speak to that rock, or lead the people here, you're going to find good water. And they did. Think of this. Clothing and footwear for 40 years never wore out. When's the last time you bought yourself a pair of shoes? 40 years ago. Good man, Ron. Does your wife buy you your shoes, probably? Not bad. And their feet never swelled after all the walking in the desert and in the wilderness for 40 years. So Moses reminds the people of these things, hoping that they would be thankful to God and see God as a God that's really living and active and involved in their lives and loves and cares for them. Moses is their mediator, because God would speak to Moses and then he would go tell the people what they needed to hear and to do. And so if they would listen to Moses, everything would just be fine. It's just like listening to your pastor. If you just listen to the pastor, everything would be fine. Did you do that? It was in the desert that God taught them what was important in life, those 40 years. God is doing something in the lives of his people. You know, they've never had to depend on God in such ways as ever before in their lives as here. And so he gives them the first commandment, which is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There are no other gods. He's the only God. Always has been, always will be. He's eternal. I haven't figured that all out myself, but I believe it, that he's in control, even when I don't think he is. I have a confirmation student who recently said, we're studying the Ten Commandments, and this confirmation student says, I'm going to keep all the Ten Commandments for one day. And I told her, I said, you can't do it. No one can keep the Ten Commandments. She says, I can. And so last week, I asked her, I said, so how did it go? I was doing really good until my mom yelled at me. And I yelled back at her. And I knew I blew it. So she says, I'm going to try it again this week. And I think I'm going to do it on a Sunday. I think it'll be easier to do it on a Sunday. So I can't wait to see her again. Because I'm going to ask her where she went to church. And if she says I didn't go, we'll be like, you just broke the commandment, the third commandment. And explain it to her. But God gave us the Ten Commandments knowing that we could not keep them. But there's two things basically that he's saying. The first three commandments is for us to know who God is. His name is important, therefore we don't take his name in vain. We know it's important to gather together on the Sabbath day, a day to worship him. Our bodies need that rest. And so the first table of the law is our duty toward God, our love towards God. The second table is the last seven commandments that deal relationally, how we're supposed to deal with our and treat our neighbor. And we keep getting those wrong. But that's why we need Jesus, because Jesus kept them all. Those 40 years in the wilderness, the one lesson that God wanted to teach his people was that without him in their lives, they're going to be vulture meat. The vultures will come, because they'll die. God is a God who is their life. And they need to know who he is. And so he would humble them, he would test them in order to know what was in their hearts. Would they be thankful for all that he had done for them? You know, I just went over a few of those things, why they should be thankful. Would they be thankful and how he provided for them over those 40 years? Would they love him so much that they would keep what would want to keep his Ten Commandments, knowing that they couldn't? But they would just remind themselves, like, oh, you blew that one, you broke that one. And I keep telling the kids, the confirmation kids, you break one commandment, the Bible says, you what? You break them all. James 2:10. How do I know it's James 2:10? Because when I lived in Wahpeton, North Dakota, there was a highway from Wahpeton to Fergus Falls that was 2:10. Highway 2:10. So it always kept my mind, okay, James 2:10 is where you find it. You break one commandment, you break them all. So don't think you're pat yourself on the back if you broke only one commandment, because you're deceiving yourself. You've broken them all. If you break one, you break them all. Would their love for God be so great that they would avoid everything that would hurt their relationship with him? Now think, they had 40 years of Bible camp. You would think that they would have had the, they would be the most thankful people on earth. Because Bible camp is a good place. How many years, let me ask you this, how many years have you attended church? How many times have you gone to Bible camp or to the Bible conference here in Okoboji? How many Bible studies have you been in? And let me ask you this. Are you more dependent on God today than you were 40 years ago? Or 10 years ago? Or just 1 year ago? Are you more dependent on God today than you were then? Are you a spiritually thankful camper? What Moses says here in Deuteronomy, he says it's a matter of the heart. And that's just what I ask for you to look at your own heart here tonight. And ask yourself, what is it that makes me thankful? How about God's salvation that He's given to me? Where would I be tonight if it weren't for God's love and grace? Where would I be tonight if this person, the person that comes to your mind that influenced you in following the Lord, or to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is that person that comes to your mind? Think on that. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us along the way in our lives, as we do need to be reminded, and to think sometimes back in our past of the people that you brought into our lives, that we would say, if it wouldn't be for so-and-so, I'm not sure if I would be following the Lord today. But at that particular time in my life, it was the right time, the right place, and the right words were spoken, or the right prayer was prayed, that I knew that you had your hand on my shoulder, and you wanted to come into my heart. It's so important. Lord, thank you for being patient with us along the way. We are no different than the Israelites walking around for 40 years in the desert, because we still find ourselves complaining, not satisfied with this or that, afraid, wondering, when will this end? And when will things become better? Lord, you've been very patient with us. And we are thankful that you sent us your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid it all for us, who kept the commandments for us because we could not keep them ourselves, who was sinless and perfect in every way, and became the perfect sacrifice for all mankind, but most of all, Lord, for each one of us and for me. Thank you for cleansing us and forgiving us and setting us free from guilt and shame and giving us a new life. People we once couldn't stand, we're now, Lord, we love them. We care about them. We pray for them. We never ever thought that could ever happen. But because you're a God of love, and you're holy and you're just, you are able to change hearts and lives. And I pray that everyone here tonight realizes how much you're able to love us where we're at, to forgive us, and give us something new that we never thought would be possible, all because of Jesus Christ. So we can leave here today, Lord, thankful. Tonight, more thankful than when we came. So we just praise you and thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. I did ask Pastor Tim Nappy to share tonight, because we heard from Nancy and from Bev when they came back from Africa. And so this was probably a month ago. I just said, Tim, do you want to say something you're thankful for? It could be about Africa. It could be about anything else. I'm going to get the mic over here. And then as he's sharing, I want to invite each of you to be thinking about, if it had not been for, name the person that comes to your mind, that if it wouldn't have been for this person, that God used this person in my life that helped bring me to Jesus Christ, or influenced me to live for the Lord. Who is that person? And just say a little something about that person. Give me the name of the person and why he or she had that impact on you. So they're in a deep thought. They're not going to hear a word you're going to say.
Good evening. Well, thank you for the opportunity to share with you. I have a couple of things in mind. I'm glad that Tim gave me permission to talk not just about our Africa ministry, but a couple of other things. One thing I've been reflecting on this week, it was 5 years ago now that many of you walked with Bev and I through a difficult time that our granddaughter Eleanor was born November 11th, 5 years ago. And she was born with a congenital heart issue. They were anxious to have her in the right place where she could be born with the necessary medical facilities that could handle this issue. So our daughter-in-law, Margo, had to spend the last 2 or 3 weeks of her pregnancy in Jackson, Mississippi, near the only hospital in Mississippi that was equipped to handle baby with this issue. And it was a tense time. Eleanor was born on November 11th. We were able to be there for that day. She was put in the intensive care unit of the hospital and monitored closely. She had a surgery immediately after she was born, a small one, and then 2 weeks later she had a major heart surgery where they rerouted most of the arteries in her heart so that the blood would flow the way it was supposed to. The surgeon described it as redoing her plumbing, that they rearranged all her blood vessels. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Eleanor's 5th birthday in St. Louis and went down to spend the weekend with them. They came up from Mississippi, and she's a happy, healthy 5-year-old little girl that we only saw her for the day, but we were exhausted at the end of the day. That she was very active, very healthy. Her checkups have gone well, and we are thankful to God for her strength and health. The doctors have said she's got the green light to do whatever activities she wants to do as she grows up, that everything looks good. Other than the scar on her chest, there are no signs of the difficulties that she had when she was born. So we rejoice that God has answered a lot of prayers, and we are thankful to you as congregation for walking with us through that difficult time. There were a lot of prayers and a lot of support from you as we were praying for our granddaughter. So that's kind of a personal note of what I'm thankful for this season. Our trip to Africa in September, it was a powerful testimony of what God is doing in other parts of the world, that God is alive and active, lives are being touched and hearts are being changed. We have 20 missionaries there that we meet with each year, and we heard from them. One of the highlights of our trip, we also were able to touch base with over 30 pastors that we had licensed and ordained the prior year, and they gave us an account of their work in the last year and the results that they had been seeing. They are a breath of fresh air. You know, these missionaries that we are working with, they have been doing this for about 25 years, and they are seasoned veterans, but many times they, it's not that they're discouraged, but they've been through the battles. They are battle weary, and it's been a difficult journey. These fresh new faces with energy and passion and excitement and exuberance, they're on the front end of their ministry, and they come in with a lot of excitement and a lot of joy, a lot of enthusiasm. And as they were giving an account of going to villages, some were receptive and people responded, and many in the village were converted. When we have baptisms here, we rejoice with a family as a baby comes up for baptism. There, when they hold a baptism, it might be 6, 8, 10, it might be 20, 30, 40. We had a note a couple of weeks ago that in one village, 51 were baptized on that weekend. And it's cause for celebration. So there's a lot of joy when something like that happens, and singing and celebration. We also heard from the pastors some accounts where the villages were not very receptive. They went and started sharing their faith and preaching in a public park or on a street corner, and in these couple of villages, the Muslim elders were offended by that message, did not want that message in their town, and they drove the pastors out of town, stoning them as they went, beating them with sticks and driving them away and saying, don't come back. As we visited with these pastors, they grieved for this community who had shunned them and didn't want to hear that message. And they came back and they were praying and fasting and seeking God's guidance, wondering when the moment would be right for them to return. That it wasn't a question of whether they would be returning. They were planning on it. We're going to go back. We just want to make sure that we go back in God's timing. And when God gives us the green light and says it's time to go back, we'll go back. And so that they, to see that courage, that passion, that many times in our country and in our communities, we may be a little fearful to speak out and share our faith because somebody might be offended and say they don't want to hear it. But they're not going to stone us. They're not going to beat us with sticks. They're not going to alienate us from the town. There, not only is there a physical ramification for what they say, it could escalate to the point where it could be very physically damaging or even deadly. And so we continue to pray for them, but we are also inspired by them. Emails and messages from them. They continue to share their faith. Communities are listening and being receptive. Churches are starting, and it's exciting to hear what God is at work doing. Many times we might lament the state of Christian life in our corner of the world, that more often we hear of churches closing rather than new churches starting. But there are places in the world where new churches are beginning, and where people are eager to hear the good news. So thank you for your prayers. I wanted to share with you one psalm. This is a psalm that I've used the last couple of years that has been a prayer spoken by King David 3,000 years ago, and it continues to be our prayer today. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear you. That's our prayer, that may God continue to bless us, watch over us, and may all the ends of the earth hear and respond to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. There's so many different ways to praise God and be thankful for all that he's done for us. But here's what I kind of would like us to do. I'm just going to pass the mic. I might, you know, Ron looks like he's about ready to fall asleep. I might start with him. I don't know. But think about a person that God used in your life that brought you closer to Jesus. I just realized that it's L Avenue that the church is on. Lowell Lundstrom. Everybody know up here, to begin with, it starts with an L. Lowell Lundstrom was the first one where I heard the gospel clearly and responded that night to receive Christ when I was about 16. The guy who counseled me, took me through the four spiritual laws, his name was Leland Lintag. And the thing that sticks out in my mind, Leland is gone. He died a number of years ago. And I looked at him at that time as an old man. I suppose he probably was the same age as I am now. But he had a youth gathering at his farm where he had taken the snow off of the lake to do some ice skating and put a bonfire on the pond. And he said, Tim, would you like to come? I mean, we'd really like to have you come to be a part of this youth activity. And I said, Leland, I'd love to be there. Two things. I don't know where you live. And I have to milk cows. And by the time I'm done milking cows, it's too late for me to get from my home to where you live to be a part of this. And he said something that I did not expect. He said, I will come and help you milk, and I will take you to my house. You don't have to drive. I will take you. I said, well, I have to come back home. He says, and I will take you back home. And I said, Shazam. Big impact on my life. Charlie, got a person?
Yes. Margaret, my neighbor, invited me to church when I was 5. And we got my whole family finally going.
Okay. Let me pick up the church staff. Bob, I know you're shy.
Yes. I'd say it was probably when I was in the service and went to Navigators study, and at that time was really presented in a very clear way, and I couldn't tell you the two guys that their names were because I was on my way through and heading to Alaska, and but nonetheless there was a commitment made at that time, and I appreciated the ministry of the Navigators.
Okay. We're out of time, sorry Lisa, the rest of you. But Bob, I'm gonna have you get up to the piano. I mean, I'd love to just pass the mic and hear from everybody, and then also say, you know, if you don't want to do it, just say, you know, just pass it on to somebody else, that's just fine. But maybe something you can probably do next Thanksgiving. And hopefully you'll forget about it, because you'll still come. Otherwise you're like, no, he said next Thanksgiving he's going to pass the mic around. But I think you'll forget by then. But let's, I'm just going to have a word of prayer. And then Bob, you'll close us with the last song. And we are dismissed. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful tonight just to be able to have my whole family here and all my grandkids. It had to be a special time when Moses spoke to the people, and there had to be families, kids, and grandkids there as well to hear the good things that God has done for them over 40 years. Some of us, Lord, are over past 40 years and then some, but still grateful and thankful. So I just pray, Lord, that this Thanksgiving, which is tomorrow, regardless of what the weather has, that has canceled people from coming or what was being planned, that we still will remember you and what you've done for us and how you'll continue to work in our hearts and our lives in ways that we don't even know about tonight. But you are God, and you love us, and you care for us. And you see us through the difficult times that all of us here have had some way, shape, or form, and we can still be thankful. So I just pray your blessing upon each home, each family, each person that's here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those that were able to share just a little bit. I didn't know that Charlie was only 5 years old and someone had an impact on her life. I didn't know that Bob was influenced by the Navigators when he was in the service. So he had to be probably in his late teens or 20s. Lord, you still speak to people who are in their 90s and 100s that have somehow along the way have forgotten you or have shunned you or walked away from you, but realize that now they need you because eternity can happen at any time. And it's what we've done with Jesus Christ that will determine where we will spend eternity. May we always receive him and trust in him with our whole hearts, because he's good. He never does anything bad, because he cares and loves us too. And so we just pray your blessing upon all who are here tonight. In Jesus' name.